Last Lord's Day, we began an eternally important study concerning forgiveness, as all of us should be interested in this particular subject, because our eternal destiny depends on our being forgiven of our sins by our Almighty Creator. And so this morning we want to continue that study, but let me mention a little bit of what we covered last Lord's Day, as we discussed God will forgive us if we submit to His will. And we noted in the Old Testament that those who live faithfully in the patriarchal age and in the Mosaic age, under those systems, they were saved by the blood of Christ going back and washing away their sins as they did live faithfully under the law that they were under. But now today, we're all under the law of Christ, and we need to know what to do to be saved by going to the New Testament. And so as we closed out our study last Lord's Day, we were looking at the question asked on the day of Pentecost, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2:37-38. And we looked at Paul as he asked, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And he was told to go into Damascus in Acts 9:5-6. And Ananias told Saul then, who later would be the Apostle Paul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. And so let us mention this as a summary of what we covered last week. God's forgiveness is conditional on our submitting to His will. And one can study all the conversions in the book of Acts, starting with chapter 2, when the Church of Christ began there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And you will not read of anyone being saved by faith only, nor grace only, nor a direct operation of the Holy Spirit on someone's heart. The Holy Spirit works on our hearts with an instrument. What is that instrument? The Word of God, of course. So let us not be deceived, as these are damnable doctrines being taught by many false teachers throughout the world today. And Jesus warned of these false teachers. Matthew 7:15-20. Study 2 Peter 2:1-3 and 1 John 4:1. We're to try the spirits to see if they're of God. Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. And we need to know what the Bible says, and certainly search the Scriptures daily to be sure the things we're hearing are so, as the Bereans did. Now, this morning we want to discuss, as Christians, that is, in the Lord's church, we are to be ready to forgive others who sin against us as they repent. And we'll talk more about this in a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as, yes sir, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth. That's having a proper attitude, but also in the accordance of the New Testament pattern that God has given us, John 4:24. Something else to mention, and that is, you will be very much welcome as you come in the front door or the side door. We look forward to having visitors. Now, I want to mention this. We're always glad to set up Bible studies. We look forward to that opportunity. If you would like to do that, let us know and we'll set it up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses. We are appreciative of getting Bible questions and your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. One other announcement, our gospel meeting is fast approaching, September the 12th through the 14th, Friday and Saturday night would be at 7 p.m., Sunday morning, 9:30 Bible class hour, 10:30 worship service hour, then a wonderful potluck lunch, and then the 1 o'clock service to close out the meeting. Who is our speaker? Brother Donnie Vick from the Shelbyville Road Congregation in Indianapolis, a very fine godly congregation that I appreciate the relationship I have with these brethren. And also, I wanted to mention, Brother Donnie is going to be speaking on the theme, The Bible and Me. Now, that's very appropriate for all of us, and we should gather much from a study concerning that theme. So we look forward to having you with us during our gospel meeting. Now, let's get to our study. As Christians, we are to be ready to forgive others who sin against us as they repent. And I want us to start out with a verse that we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16 likely is the most quoted verse of the Bible. However, it's one of the most misused verses as well. For example, faith only, those that advocate this belief have not learned that believeth is a part put for the whole. So they leave out the included works in the plan of salvation, which are, after all, good works, works of obedience. If you look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, yes, we're saved by God's grace. It's a gift of God. It's something we don't deserve. We cannot earn it. But we must do something to obtain it. And that is works of righteousness, if you look at verse 10. Now, Hebrews 13, verse 21, I want us to note this, make you perfect in every good work. There it is. To do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and forever and ever. Amen. Now, we need to understand good works is separated from works of merit, works of the flesh, works of the law of Moses. They're all excluded. But the included works are submitting to God's will. That's works of obedience. You know, the devils believe and tremble, James 2:19. And since that's the case, if one is honest, he should come to the conclusion that one's belief without repentance, without the good confession, without baptism for the remission of sins, without living faithfully, is a dead faith. James 2:24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Couldn't be put any more clear than that. We need to accept the word of God. Now let's focus on what John 3:16 reveals to us concerning the love of God and his desire to forgive every sinner. God the Father, with the greatest degree of love, gave the greatest gift, that being his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, He died on the cruel cross of Calvary so that all sinners may obtain forgiveness of their sins, and that produces the greatest blessing, the forgiveness of sins by their obedience to the will of God. That's how we are able to receive the greatest blessing, in obedience to the will of God. And then we should appreciate having our sins forgiven instead of being in the fires of hell for eternity. The obedient follower of Christ is going to have everlasting life. Where? In heaven with God and the angels and all the faithful. So no honest person should doubt the love and desire of God to forgive every sinner. That's what I'm emphasizing here. So the key to our study concerning Christians, as we are to be ready to forgive others who sin against us as they repent, we need to learn forgiveness from God. Thus, if we will always remember this divine characteristic, we will be motivated to forgive others as Christ would have us to do. As members of the Church of Christ, if we fail to have a desire to forgive anyone who has sinned against us, can we please God? The answer clearly is what? No. Holding a grudge against someone is not Christ-like. How can we expect God to forgive us when we fail to forgive those who repent? Now, how many of us have experienced the hurt of someone unwilling to forgive us? Well, are not those unforgiving folks hurting themselves more than they are hurting us? It should hurt them to have a grudge and not being willing to forgive someone. That just eats at you, does it not? And we move on. Even though they won't forgive us, we have to go ahead and do the best we can and serve God. And since our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ set the example of forgiveness, yes, as those who crucified Him, and shortly in the future, when they obeyed the gospel, they were forgiven. As the Lord prayed to His Father in heaven, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In Acts 2:41, you can see in those that gladly received the word, they received the gospel and they obeyed it. And they were added unto them some 3,000 souls. They were forgiven because they contacted the blood of Christ in the watery grave of baptism. Now, we cannot be a true follower of Christ and refuse to forgive those who repent. But that's, again, something to emphasize, those who repent. Now, notice Mark 11:25-26. Excuse me. "And when ye stand praying," this is Christ, "forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses," or your sins. "But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses," that is, your sins. Now, Luke 17:3-4, "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him." Notice that, if he repent. If he does not repent, then you cannot forgive him. If we don't repent, how can God forgive us? So it's the same with us forgiving others. They have to repent. "And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Acts 7:59-60. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God as he's being stoned, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And so he had the attitude of forgiveness. Now, whether they were forgiven depended on them obeying the gospel, having repented of their sins, of course. Now let's go to Colossians 3, 12 through 16. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, mercies, plural, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That's having patience with one another, isn't it? Forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, agape love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. There's one true church in the Bible, not many. One body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Is that not specific in the way we're to worship God? And this is music in the worship, and it's specifically stated singing. And we're not to take away from that or add to it. And we all should sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord as we worship Him. Now, James 2, 12 and 13. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. We better be sure that we are having mercy. We don't want to be judged without mercy, do we? You know, holding a grudge is not Christ-like. But having a desire to forgive anyone who has sinned against us is Christ-like. And we're to have the mind of Christ, are we not? Philippians 2, 5. Now, as Christians, following the Lord's model prayer, we should pray daily for forgiveness of our sins, with the understanding that if we are unwilling to forgive our debtors, those who sin against us, that is, then neither will God forgive us of our sins. Notice Matthew 6, 12. Give us this day our daily bread, our daily needs we need to pray for, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So there's a stipulation to our forgiveness. Now notice 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And again, the word trespasses is sin. Now, let me ask this question. How often do we pray for the forgiveness of our sins? Well, since we're to pray for our daily bread, should we also not pray daily for the forgiveness of our sins? We should, shouldn't we? Yes, of course. Or else how could we follow the Lord's instructions as he was asked, Lord, teach us to pray? And that's what he did. Matthew 6, 5 through 15, Luke 11, 1 through 3. Now, in Matthew chapter 18, and we want to spend some time in this chapter. We won't be able to complete it this Lord's Day, but we'll want to get started. Matthew 18, 15 through 35. We'll find here there are three interacting events which occurred in the first century. And these events relate very well to our study concerning forgiveness. And in particular, we want to note that God called me, Bob Hawkins, to forgive. And you put your name in there as well. And so we'll start with Jesus gives instructions on what to do in his coming church if a brother sins against another brother. And since the verb trespass means sins, we keep that in mind. Now, let's pick up with Matthew 18, beginning in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now the word church here you can see is used for those who have been called out of darkness and into the light, having obeyed the gospel. The church are the saints, the Christians, who are added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself as they have obeyed the gospel. That's what happens. The church. So this is the one true church of the Bible. Since Jesus died for it, let us refer to it as the church of Christ. And so here we find verse 18 to finish out the section here. Jesus saying, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now this is the authority given the apostles. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So let's notice now a lesson from the Lord's instructions. If thy brother trespass against thee, or sin in the American Standard. The term brother was selected by Christ as it's a term of endearment. And so we are to love one another as Christ loved us. That's John 13, 34, and 35, is it not? That new commandment I have given thee. Well, that's the one as Jesus has loved us. That's how we're to love one another. Now, let me ask this. Are we seeking opportunities to do good to all men, especially our brethren? Galatians 6, 10. Now let's note another lesson, lesson two. This passage that we just read reveals how brethren are to deal with a brother who has sinned against us personally, against thee. And thus it should be kept private between thee and him alone, if possible. Now, what should be the offended brother's attitude? Well, certainly it should be without hate in his heart, not wanting to tell the preacher, the elders, or others in and out of the congregation, but having a spirit of love, gentleness, and a desire to forgive the sin committed, Ephesians 4:32. Now we need to note, this is not a case of preaching or teaching false doctrine, but a case where one brother sins against another brother. Now, lesson three. We are not to ignore the sin of our brother who has sinned against us, but go and tell him his fault. Let's remember that all sin is against God. Our attitude should be to help him, as he may not realize what he has done is wrong or know that he has even caused an injury to us. Would we not welcome an opportunity to right a wrong or to clear up a misunderstanding with an offended brother? Of course. Well, let's go on. Lesson four. Not every offense is a sin. Therefore, we should be careful not to be easily offended like some brethren who wear their feelings on their sleeves. 1 Corinthians 13, 5, the agape love chapter. We need to study that. You know, someone may say something that sounds hurtful to us, and we take that as an offense. but ask ourselves, is that a sin? Did this brother sin in saying what he said? Now, and you understand that includes brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, again, the situation is this a sin? That's the important thing to understand here. We should ask ourselves, is this a wrong against us that would cost our brother his soul? If it is, then certainly we should go to our brother and help him to repent. If the offense is not a sin, why not pray for our brother and let the offense go? 1 Corinthians 13:5-7, again, study that. James 5:16. But here's another lesson. Lesson 5. If our brother refuses to repent of the sin against us, then take 2 or 3 witnesses to hear and give their impartial judgment of the matter. They are to witness the account by hearing both the offended and the offender. It is certainly possible the offended made a mistake in his charge. And honest brethren should desire to resolve the matter in accordance to God's will. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto the Father by Him, through Him. Yes. Lesson 6. If the brother refuses to repent after the above steps, the next step is to take it before the church. If he refuses to hear the members of the church pleading with him to repent, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Church discipline. It is a command of God. It's the last effort to restore an erring brother. Romans 16:17, 1 Corinthians 5:11-13 is an example. And 2 Thessalonians 3:6. These are the passages that need to be studied. Verses 14 and 15 in 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy 6:5. We need to understand this is a command of God. It's not so much a forgotten commandment as it is a forsaken commandment. It works. If the brother does not repent, it still works to cast out the sinful person from contaminating the rest of the brethren. Yes, you withdraw fellowship, and that should be missed. But whether it is or not, we do what God says out of love to get them back. And it has worked. So these are lessons from this account. And then we'll pick back up, Lord willing, with Peter's question next Lord's Day. But let me invite anyone to study with us further. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we'll assist you in doing so. We have to hear the truth, believe Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins, make the good confession, and be immersed into Christ. He will add us to His body. We thank you so much for listening today.